The American Lung Association in Oregon recently released its 2025 State of the Air report, which reveals the quality of air in regions across Oregon and the impact that air pollution has on our lung health. Joining the exchange to help us learn more is the Senior Director of Advocacy at the American Lung Association, Karen Neeson. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, so nice to be with you. Really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, before we get into the results of the report, tell me about the work that you do at the American Lung Association.
I have been with the Lung Association for over 20 years, which I can hardly believe because it's gone by so quickly. And most of that time, I have been working in policy work. I started out as a grassroots organizer working on smoke-free campaigns. And as the Lung Association grew and merged, I acquired more things in my portfolio. So I work on tobacco prevention. I work to lessen the impact that tobacco has on the people in our state. I work on clean air issues, and I also work on access to care issues and lung cancer. So the portfolio has grown, and I also have the pleasure of working in several different states, and Oregon is one of those. I also work in Alaska, Washington, Hawaii, Idaho, and Montana. So there is never a dull moment in my day.
I bet. You're trying to prevent people from killing themselves through tobacco, and you're helping people clean the air, and you're also working with policymakers to around legislation. You seem to have a broad range of work. Why is this work important to you?
You know, I started at the Lung Association, and I was really motivated by my dad, actually. My dad started smoking cigarettes in the Army. A buddy gave him a cigarette, and he hated it. Another buddy gave him a cigarette, and it was a menthol cigarette, and he liked the taste. It was smooth going down, and he smoked for decades afterwards. It was March 5th, 1995, and Dad came in from the field, got cleaned up, sat in his lounger to watch the TV news, and there was a segment on that program that showed that infants that were exposed to secondhand smoke were more likely to die from sudden infant death syndrome. And my sister was pregnant at the time. And when my dad saw that news segment, he made that connection, and he threw his cigarettes away and never smoked again. So if the power of education and research could get my dad to quit smoking, which is something my siblings and I had tried for years to do, I knew there was really great power in the work that the American Lung Association does.
Wow, the power of messaging and storytelling transformed the mind and heart of your dad.
It sure did. And, you know, he celebrated that day right along with our birthdays and anniversaries. He was really proud of that.
So our lungs are affected by a lot of stuff in our environment, not just the stuff we put into it intentionally, but what we're breathing unintentionally. What prompted the American Lung Association to produce this new report card on the state of air in Oregon?
Well, this report is actually 26 years old, so we have done it for many years. And I think one of the inspirations behind this report is when you think about our lungs, they're the only internal organ that with each and every breath that we take is exposed to our outside environment. So what we're breathing, the air that surrounds us, is really important and really crucial to our health.
Okay, so every year for the past 26 years, the American Lung Association has produced this report card?
Yes, we have.
So tell me about the report. What does it measure?
This report, it takes a look at two of the most common pollutants in our country. So it takes a look at ozone, and it takes a look at particle pollution. And it looks at particle pollution in two different ways. It looks at the short-term spikes that counties see in particle pollution, and that can be caused by, in our area, wildfire smoke is one of the most common, when you've got short-term spikes where the particle pollution really goes up. And then the other measure for particle pollution is the annual pollution, and that's the day-in and day-out pollution that you take in. So a lot of that comes from industrial sources. It comes from our tailpipes. It's just that air pollution that is just there every day.
Okay. So ozone pollution or ozone and just particle pollution in the air.
Yes. Those are the two things that we take a look at.
So tell me about ozone.
So ozone doesn't come directly out of point sources or out of tailpipes. Ozone is actually a molecule with three oxygen atoms in it. And it happens when you've got compounds in the air, nitrous oxides or volatile organic compounds. When you have those chemicals in the air and it reacts with sunshine, it then creates ozone. So ozone you'll see in our area on hot summer days, because you have to have that sunlight, you have to have that heat to create ozone. And the thing that's so powerful about ozone is it affects everyone's lungs. You can be a healthy adult and still be affected by ozone. So when you breathe that in, it kind of causes almost like a sunburn on the tissue lining of your lungs.
Huh. Now, I've never known much about ozone at all, other than there was an ozone hole in the atmosphere that I heard about years ago. What does that mean?
Well, and ozone up in the air is a good thing. It protects us from the radiation that comes into the upper atmosphere. So we like ozone when it's up several miles away from the earth. But ozone on the ground can be really harmful to lungs. And across the nation, most of the pollution has been ozone, but it's been traditionally in the eastern United States and in places like California, where you've got really warm temperature. But we are seeing some areas in the Pacific Northwest that are having higher levels of ozone, and most of that is due to the warming temperatures that we're having. And a lot of that is due to traffic patterns and the emissions that are coming out of tailpipes when it's hot can create extra ozone in our air.
My guest is Carrie Neeson, the Senior Director of Advocacy at the American Lung Association. And we're talking about the new report card on the state of air in Oregon. So, Carrie, let's talk about the results for Jackson County. What grade did we get on this report card?
So, sadly, we have two failing grades. We have a failing grade for the particle pollution for the short-term spikes. We have a failing grade for the annual pollution, which is the day-in and day-out exposure to particle pollution. And we have a C grade for ozone.
Okay, so our report card is really bad. What does that mean?
Well, sadly, it means that people in Jackson County are too often breathing unhealthy air.
When you say too often, I don't know when you're taking these measures, at what time of year, what time of day. Give me a sense of how these measures are taken and over what period of time.
You bet. So each state of the air report takes a look at 3 years' worth of data. So the data for this report was 2021, 2022, and 2023. And the reason that those years are chosen is because that's the data that's quality assured by the EPA. So we know that data is tried and true. So when I think of how we come up with these grades for this report, I like to think of a big funnel. So we're putting into the top of the funnel 3 years' worth of data. So we're putting over 100 years' worth of data into this funnel. And then we're adding in the information that comes from monitors from over 900 counties in the United States. So you've got all that data in there in that tunnel. And by the time it comes out, by the time we have applied some math and some other fancy things to the data, when it comes out the end, the neck of the tunnel, we have the grades that are created.
So how does Jackson County compare to other regions in Oregon based on your report?
Well, in Oregon, one of the main challenges that we have is the particle pollution from wildfire smoke. So that is not uncommon that we will have many counties in Oregon with the failing grade because of the wildfire smoke that we see in summer. We don't often see counties in Oregon also have a failing grade for that particle pollution. So there's things happening in Jackson the year in, year out. It could be wood stoves in the summer. I know there's some challenging geography there where sometimes in the winter you can have those inversions. And so if you've got bad air from wood stoves, it hangs in the community until some weather event takes it out. And the other thing that can cause that year in and year out pollution is from tailpipes, so traffic from buses, cars, and trucks.
We live in a relatively rural region. Medford is our largest city, but we live in a valley. So we do get smoke sitting on top of us from time to time. Hiking, biking, and camping, though, is huge here, as is outdoor youth sports like football, baseball, and soccer. And of course, this region is also a haven for retirees. What's happening to our lungs when our air quality is bad for an extended period of time?
Well, and air quality doesn't affect everyone equally, I will say. You mentioned there's a lot of retirees in your area. Our elderly are very susceptible to air pollution. They're more likely to have some chronic illnesses. Their immune system is just not as strong as it was when they were young, so you can see impacts from them. Youth also, I'm so glad that you mentioned like sports teams and things like that, because youth are particularly susceptible. Lung development actually continues after we're born until we're in our teens and beyond. So anytime you have youth that are exposed to bad air, it can actually prevent the lungs from developing into, you know, full, healthy adult lungs. So there's a big consideration that needs to be given. And I think some policies can be put in place when there's bad air that perhaps we, you know, cancel the outside practices, or maybe we need to reschedule some of the competitions that happened to protect the youngs of our youth.
So what do you recommend we do to clean our air, and how should this report be used by policymakers and business leaders?
There are so many things. At the federal level, we're seeing a lot of cuts that will move lung health in the wrong direction. And specifically to this report are the threats to the Environmental Protection Agency. And that agency has the mission to protect human health and the environment. And what we're seeing is a lot of layoffs of expert staff, which means that clean air protections that rely on those experts and programs at the EPA to clean up our air may not be happening. We're also seeing efforts to roll back protections that allow polluters to get out of complying with the current standards that we have. So at a time when we're fighting off so many things at the federal level, I think it's really important that the state of Oregon moves ahead on those things that it can do. There was a legislation introduced this session to roll back and delay the advanced clean trucks rule. That bill did not move forward, and now there's an opportunity for citizens to weigh in with the Department of Environmental Quality and to say how important that is, because that's one measure that Oregon can do to clean up the air. Another thing that's really important is I participated in a work group that looked at funding for Oregon wildfires for the suppression and mitigation. So there's a lot of work that we can do to make communities more ready for wildfire seasons. There's a lot of things that we can do to clean up our forest to prevent the catastrophic wildfires.
Well, so we're going to have to leave it there, Carrie. I'm so sorry. We've run out of time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.